Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prachi Ambre from MUFG Investor Relations Team. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Pradeep Kumar Khanna, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhayraj Singh, Senior Vice President and Company Secretary, Mr. Kushal Kumar Rana, Director Works, and Mr. Rakesh Mahajan, Advisor. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs and expectations as of today. The statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Abhay sir for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Prachi ji. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Q1 FY26 earnings call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued trust and engagement. I hope you have had a chance to review our financial results and investors' presentation available on the stock exchange and our website. We are pleased to report an encouraging start to the financial year. Q1 FY26 has been a quarter of efficient execution marked by revenue growth, margin expansion, and resilient cash flow. This performance reflects the strength of our integrated business model and the strategic clarity with which we are navigating both opportunities and challenges. Let me begin by briefly setting the broader industry context for the pharmaceutical segment, which continues to be the cornerstone of our business. The API market entered FY26 with steady demand across most therapeutic categories, with certain products continuing to face pricing pressure and some product prices have bottomed out. The overall demand environment remains stable. We are also witnessing good demand traction in non-ibuprofen APIs like metformin, paracetamol, clopidogrel, pantoprazole, fenofibrate, and others. Most of these APIs are operating at optimum utilization level, indicating robust demand and efficient capacity use. In regulated markets, the emphasis on quality, compliance, and supply reliability continues to support opportunities for well-integrated manufacturers like IOL. Our newly commissioned 10,800 MTPA fully backward-integrated automated paracetamol plant has also commenced export to European and other regulated markets, positioning us strongly in this evolving landscape. We have also initiated setting up Unit 9B by carving out part of existing Unit 9 for manufacturing minoxidil and its intermediates, which is expected to be completed by the third quarter of this financial year. Turning to the chemicals segment, Q1 FY26 was marked by steady demand but subdued pricing across key products. Market sentiments remained soft due to cautious downstream procurement. Against this backdrop, our successful REACH registration under EU regulations for acetic anhydride marks a significant milestone, enabling us to expand our footprint across European markets and reinforcing our position in specialty chemicals. Looking ahead, our strategic priorities remain clear and consistent. We aim to diversify our API portfolio, targeting a 50-50 split between ibuprofen and non-ibuprofen. We are scaling up exports with growing traction in regulated markets across the LATAM, Europe, China, and others. Operational excellence remains a core focus, supported by backward integration, process innovation, and cost leadership. On the sustainability front, we are proud to have earned the EcoVadis Silver Medal, placing IOL among the top 15% of companies globally for environmental, social and ethical performance. With a strong balance sheet, resilient operations and a clear roadmap, we are well positioned to deliver sustainable growth and long-term value for all stakeholders. With this, I now invite our CFO, Mr. Pradeep Khanna, to share the financial highlight for Q1 FY26.
Thank you, Abhay. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to report that Q1 of financial year 26 has been a strong start to the year with robust financial performance across all key metrics. Revenue from operations stood at ₹552 crore, reflecting a healthy 9.8% year-on-year growth compared to ₹502 crore in Q1 of financial year 25. EBITDA for the quarter rose by 19.5% year-on-year to ₹69.5 crore, up from ₹58.2 crore in the same quarter last year. This translates to an EBITDA margin of 12.4% and improvement of 102 basis point year-on-year basis, driven by better product mix, cost optimizations, and improved capacity utilization. Profit after tax came in at ₹34 crore, marking a 14.4% increase over ₹29.7 crore in Q1 of financial year 25. PAT margin also improved, reflecting our disciplined financial management and operational resilience. On a cash-adjusted basis, our performance was even stronger. Cash PAT for Q1 of financial year 26 stood at ₹55 crore compared to ₹47 crore in the same quarter of the last year, registering a growth of over 16%. This underscores our strong cash generation capability and the underlying health of our core operations. Our balance sheet remains solid with no leverage, thereby providing us with ample headroom to fund future growth, invest in innovation, and pursue long-term strategic initiatives while maintaining financial stability. With that, I conclude my remarks and now welcome any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of A.B. Rafe from Wealth Catalyst. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon. Sir, I have a couple of questions. So my first question is, given that paracetamol has seen relatively weak demand over the past few quarters, which in turn has led to subdued demand for acetic anhydride as well. So what is the current outlook for both the segments? Are there signs of recovery? And can we expect a strong rebound in demand for both paracetamol and acetic anhydride?
Good afternoon. As regarding paracetamol, the prices are no doubt at very low level. But the demand is there, not at that level which was during that COVID period, but it is already above the pre-COVID arena area. The demand level is more than pre-COVID area, maybe some growth rate of 3-4% in paracetamol. So no doubt the prices of acetic anhydride are also down presently, but the cost of production for IOL CP may be to some extent better than other peers for acetic anhydride and for paracetamol also. Further, our new plant of 10,800 ton, it is totally atomized and with backward integration of paraminophenyl and acetic anhydride, we think that we may cover up a certain capacity utilization in FY26, maybe around 55 to 60% this year, and at a optimum level in next financial year.
Okay. All right. So my second question is, with a major ethyl acetate plant in the Middle East that has got recently shut down, are we seeing any noticeable increase in our volumes and prices due to this development, sir?
I think we have not shut down any ethyl acetate plant.
Middle East, there is a plant shut. I think we have not seen any encouraging change in with respect to the pricing, because pricing is totally bottomed out for ethyl acetate. But yes, we have exports for ethyl acetate, but they are in line with our previous trends only.
Okay. So my last question is, how has been the demand in Europe for both our pharmaceuticals and chemicals portfolio?
They are good, sir, because as we talk about our API products, API, we have the CEP for most of our products, and the demand is slowly and gradually increasing as the approval process is going on from our customer side also.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Preeti Agarwal from SK Associates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is that how is the demand environment evolving for ibuprofen and paracetamol, particularly in the context of post-COVID normalization and recent recovery trends?
I think there is no any hefty increase in the demand, but yes, slowly the demand is going up, and which you can see from our performance also, we are increasing our capacity of efficiency of our paracetamol plant, slowly and gradually increasing the capacity. Ibuprofen, yes, somewhat it is same as compared to our previous quarters only.
Okay, what are the current price realizations for ibuprofen, paracetamol and metformin in key markets? And how are these pricing trends shaping up?
The price of ibuprofen in the market is $9 to $10. And in case of metformin, it is around $2.5 to $3. And in case of paracetamol, it is $3.5 USD. Hello.
As there is no response from the current participant, we would move to the next question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surbhi from NB Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, how much of our ibuprofen is in our regulated market versus the non-regulated market? And secondly, all the new APIs that you all have announced, like for the likes of minoxidil and all, what is the peak revenue that we can do from the newer API?
As regarding the export of ibuprofen in regulated market, in the out of total export of ibuprofen, around 70% in our regulated market, primarily Europe and Latin American, and balance 25 to 30% in non-regulated market. And as well as regard to your second question in minoxidil, we are setting up a capacity of around 120 ton of minoxidil, and at the peak level we are expecting a revenue of 50 to 60 from minoxidil in addition to the intermediate sale.
Got it. Just a follow-up. So, ibuprofen, we don't do any North America, correct? It's just Europe and Latin.
Primarily?
Yes, primarily these are the two markets.
And what is the peak revenue that we can do from other APIs, from the newer block that we have put?
You're talking like, about other API molecules or what?
Non-ibuprofen, what is the peak revenue that we can do?
Maybe around 900 to 1000 crore in 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Currently, okay. We are approximately at 500.
So we can double from that.
2 to 3 years, we will achieve 800 to 900 crore.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
We are targeting 50-50, 50 IBU and 50 non-IBU.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshi Shah from SDA Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So my first question was, how much of your chemical production is currently consumed internally for backward integration, especially for ibuprofen and other APIs, versus sold externally through merchant sales?
It depends upon the product to product. Like isobutyl benzene, IBB, we consume around 75 to 80% in-house for captive consumption. And balance
is for merchant sales. And then about, it highlighted that is 100% approximately for the merchant sales only. And if you talk about acetic anhydride, we are using almost 40% in-house because it is used in MCA and acetyl plant as well as for our paracetamol plant. And rest it is for the merchant sales only.
When the paracetamol capacity will increase,
the captive consumption will increase.
Got it, sir. And my second question was, how are you transitioning from a domestic unregulated player to a global supplier in regulated markets? What is the current domestic versus export revenue split? And how do you expect this to evolve over the next 2-3 years?
Actually, current situation of export and domestic, domestic is 75% approximately and 25% export. And we are targeting to increase the export to 40% of total revenue in the coming 2 years.
Got it. And how are you transitioning from a domestic unregulated player to a global supplier in regulated markets?
Actually, our new products which are set up in the last 2-3 years, like clopidogrel, pentoprazol, and fenofibrate, we are converting it to regulated market. The consumers and the customers are coming for audit, and we hope we will do our best and participate in regulated market in the coming 2 years, and we will achieve our total target of 40% of export in the coming 2 years.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maulik Varia from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two clarifications. So the 40% exports guidance which we've said is for chemical plus pharma or only pharma API?
Total for chemical and pharma, company as a whole.
Okay, thank you, sir. And also, just one more clarification. Our non-IBU share for 1Q would be 34%, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Two questions from my side, sir. Firstly, I wanted to understand how the paracetamol prices that you said around $3-$3.5, that is the domestic price, right? What would the export realization look like?
It is the average realization to the company as an IOL. It may be a mix of domestic prices and export prices.
Generally, export prices are higher than 10%-20% from the domestic price.
Okay. Okay. So fair enough. And wanted to understand, sir, are we maintaining our guidance of 15% margins, including other income, for the entire year?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Okay. Just one more clarification I wanted to understand. On metformin side, what would be our current utilization of the total capacity? If I'm not wrong, it is around 7,600 MTPA. So any plans to expand that capacity?
Yeah, it's more than 90% as of now.
Yes. Okay. And any expansion?
Expansion, see, we already explained this in earlier conferences also. By virtue of just setting up the new paracetamol plant, earlier plant where we were making the paracetamol, that was previously being used for the metformin. Once we shift all the productions to the new plant of paracetamol, that plant will be used for the metformin again. So that is having the capacity that will be having the capacity of 4,000 MTPA.
4,000 MTPA, right. So I mean.
It will be an additional from now.
Okay. Yeah. 4,000 addition to what we have now, right? So for this, the DCDA that is required, would we still be continuing to import from China, or how should we see that part?
No, no. It will be continued to be imported from China.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Got it, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for the year ahead.
It is not domestically, it is not available, actually.
Right. Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Patel from RK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So thank you for the opportunity. A few quick questions from my side. So I just want to know that can you provide a few more details regarding the minoxidil expansion project, and what will be the strategic role that the Unit 9B is going to play within your non-ibuprofen portfolio? And apart from that, how do you look at its contribution to the growth following its commission, which we expect in December 2025?
Yeah. So basically, as you know, we have an earlier plant which was used for manufacturing of gabapentin. So it was having two parts. So out of that, one part is converted into a dedicated facility of minoxidil. And why this minoxidil is selected? The reason is minoxidil was a product which is having good demand from some of our customers, number one. And number two, the product was already there on shelf. All the validation, all stabilities, all shelf life was assigned to that product. So within no time, and in addition to the API sales, there are some intermediates of this product which are also going into the market. So we are selling intermediates of this product into the market as well. So initially, once we are not in a position to fully utilize the 100 capacity into API, but yes, intermediates would be there into the market.
Okay. And my other question was that what can we expect, could be a broader strategy for strengthening your non-ibuprofen API portfolio, particularly the one which are in high demand therapeutic category? And can you also provide us the more insights or details regarding your product pipeline, be ibuprofen?
Sir, other products, if you see, like we have clopidogrel, we have pantoprazole sodium. So all non-IBU products, we are converting the markets into the regulated market. We have the presence in Indian market, but yes, we are planning to shift to the quality customers, or you can say into the regulated markets, where the realization would be better for the product. That is why we are thinking to increase the overall percentage of non-ibuprofen products.
Okay. And my last question was that can you give us some light regarding the non-ibuprofen APIs which are being showing this strong domestic momentum, and what are the key growth driver for it, such as we could expect the regulatory approvals or price stability or increasing geographical penetration?
So if you see non-ibuprofen, we are talking about metformin first, where we are utilizing our capacity more than 90%. Then clopidogrel and pantoprazole are the two other products where also we are increasing towards utilization of capacity more than 70-80%. And the third and most important factor is shifting of all these products to the regulated market. That will be an the only added advantage for conversion of non-ibuprofen share into the better percentage.
Yeah, that was all from my side. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Shah from RJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hello, thank you for taking my questions. So, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what are the planned developments for the newly acquired 100-acre land parcel near the Chandigarh-Bhatinda highway once regulatory approvals are secured?
So, I think already as we informed in the last meeting also, the environmental clearance process is already initiated. So, public hearing is also complete, and the meeting in the ministry has also been happened on 29th of July. So we are just about to get the environment clearance from the ministry, and parallelly we will be planning to start the process slowly, because we have the plans to go for chemicals and APIs in that plant also.
Understood, sir. And my second question is that what is the projected capex for financial year 26, and are there any new facilities or strategic initiatives planned under this investment?
As we earlier said that our capex for the from the last 2-3 years 150 cr to 200 cr annually. So this year we also plan for 150 to 200 cr. And this capex is for growth capex, and also infra, land, and new software and automation in the current year. So we have the same plan as earlier. So the details of the growth capex will be shared on quarterly basis as and when the working and approvals are matured, and we will inform accordingly. So plan for 150 to 200 CR for the current year.
Understood, sir. Also, despite a challenging macroeconomic environment, IOL has delivered strong top and bottom line growth. So what are the key factors driving this improved traction and performance? Could you highlight that?
Actually, thank you for your comments, and actually we are focusing on our capacity utilization and efficiencies, and also focusing on backward integration. So these factors contributing best to our performance.
Understood, sir. And lastly, what is the current capacity utilization for paracetamol and what are your plans to further scale production? And how do you anticipate this impacting revenue contribution and margin for financial year 26 onwards?
Currently, we are using 34% capacity in the first quarter and we hope it will increase to 60% by quarter three of the current year. And as you know, we have fully automatic and backward integrated plant of paracetamol. So we are hoping that we are cost competitive to other other peers with other peers. So capacity, we hope the 60% by the third quarter of the current year.
Understood, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Riaz, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the improved set of numbers. Sir, my questions, few of our questions are there. My first one is regarding ibuprofen. SMS Pharma has started a new plant. I just want to know that is manufacturing facility of SMS Pharma more advanced than ours? And what competition we are facing from that unit? Hello?
So, please allow them a moment. SMS Pharma, the plant you are talking about, that is not new this year. That plant is running since last more than 2 years, number one. Number two, when we talk about the product, the route they are adopting for making ibuprofen, that is a different route. So we have the competency with our own process and they have the competencies with their own process. And probably for their other processes, we don't want to comment anything because, yeah, that is our peer or competitor, you can say.
Okay, sir. Sir, previous quarter I have asked regarding the patent of Apixaban. And in the investor presentation, you have mentioned we are having 3 patents. So, patent drugs we are having, sitagliptin we are having, which is the third? Apixaban, is that the third patent? I just want to know. And I am following your LinkedIn page also. In that, I have seen somewhere that we have filed a patent of Apixaban or Edoxaban. Exactly, I don't know. Last quarter also, I have asked the question, but I haven't got the answer yet.
I think one patent is on sitagliptin. That is for sure. Second one is probably on vildagliptin. If you give me some time, we'll check and come back to you.
But how to contact me? Will you contact me? Or because last quarter also, that was the answer was the same. That's right.
So another is the valsartan and sitagliptin. We have only 2. Third is in pipeline. It's filed, not received.
Okay. Can you name that drug Apixaban or? You are not aware of that?
Filed one. Just a moment.
Basically, we have 3 patents, sir. So one is on valsartan, second is on sitagliptin, and third is on losartan.
Losartan. Okay. So that is basically sartan drug, right? Both valsartan and losartan are sartan drugs. Okay, sir.
Yes,
next question is, sir, again regarding, sorry for the asking again, but what is the timeline regarding US FDA? Still, you have not received any communication regarding US FDA inspection. And how much we are exporting in the US market? And what are the effects of 50% tariff that Trump sir has announced?
So as you said, the Trump sir has announced. We don't know what is going to the next announcement, number one. Number two, we are not directly impacted with any tariff so far because API has not been considered so far. And there is no tariff has been announced. Number two, as you said, US FDA approval, we are approved for other products also. So it is not necessary that the US FDA is coming and inspecting. They are also approving our products for selling into the US market without even inspection. Like metformin is, we are allowed to sell the metformin, but every time metformin is there, fenofibrate is also approved by the...
Last 2 months back, we have received the approval for fenofibrate.
Yeah.
And levetiracetam, we have received the queries from US FDA. I think in last week, some observations are there on our DMF. So I think the process is still going on.
And Mr. Sheikh, see, we also need to understand that it is not necessary that the US FDA is come and physically inspect us, because they inspected us twice. And after that, we have faced so many audits from so many regulatories, and all those regulatory audits has been cleared in one go. So they are also considering the other agencies or the approvals.
Like we have Brazil and Visa, like we have EU GMP, our next EU GMP is planned in month of November. So all these regulatory bodies, they have their own mutual agreement also. So they are considering the audits from other agencies as well.
Great to hear that, sir. That was the satisfactory answer. Why raw material prices has raised so much from 323 to 376 crores? Any reason behind that, sir?
Can you please come again? Raw material?
Raw material expenses. I think there is a rise of 50 crores. We have top line, we have improved 50 crores, and raw material prices also increased around 50 crores. So, is raw material price has increased?
Actually, you see the change of inventory. So, we have increased the inventory of finished goods by 12 CR. So, considering this, then you compare it.
12 CR is to be deducted.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Sir, since so long we are discussing regarding the EBITDA margins, 15 to 20% is around. We are discussing most of the time, but still it hasn't been achieved. When do you think we can achieve those 15 to 20% of margins, EBITDA margins?
Actually, you see, last year for the financial year 25, we have at 10 to 11%. Now we are near to 13%. So we hope we will achieve shortly 14 to 15%, and you see the growth from the last 2-3 quarters. Our EBITDA margin is better.
Yeah, EBITDA margin.
We are having very clear cut and focus, vision, and we are just going. All those our strategies are just getting through. So we are pretty sure that we will be having it. It's a matter of some time only.
Okay, sir. In top line, we haven't achieved the 600 crore top line mark. Can we achieve those numbers in next 2-3 quarters?
I think, yeah, we can. If you see our guidelines, I think you'll find our answer. If not 600, but very near to that also.
Yeah, we have achieved 587 is the top, I think, but haven't crossed it yet.
No, what I'm saying, within this financial year, we are having 3 quarters yes, to be reported. So what I'm saying, 600 marks is possible, we can touch. If not touch, then we will be very close to that.
Okay, that's great. Sir, this is my last question. Price difference between acetic anhydride in the regulated and India? Means normal market and regulated market?
Not very much. It's very minor, 5 to 10%, depending country to country.
Okay, sir. That was my last question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. A reminder to the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Maulik Varia from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you again for the opportunity, sir. So just continuing on the guidance and financial part. So you mentioned that we will be achieving EBITDA margin of 15% plus in the next few quarters. And I think our previous quarter's guidance was in FY26. So are we sticking to that guidance of achieving 15% in FY26?
No, we never said that, we will be crossing the 15% mark. We are saying that last year we were having something around 12%. This year we are close to 13% by now. And what we are estimating and that we will be reaching somewhere 14 to 15% something. But it is not like that, that we are saying that the 15% plus. So 14, 15% is the guidelines we given. So we are hopeful as of now also.
Okay, sir. And for chemicals segment, how much EBITDA margin are we expecting for FY26?
It is 5 to 6% we are hoping.
Okay, for FY26, 5 to 6%. And from both the segments...
14.
Sorry, sir?
So this 14% is something blended EBIT margin we were discussing.
Yeah, right. And around 5 to 6% EBIT margin for chemical segment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And on the revenue front, sir, are we confident of achieving around 10 to 15% revenue growth on a blended basis?
Yes, we are expecting 10% growth from the last year in the current year. We definitely achieve.
Yeah, we are hopeful.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Preeti Agarwal from SK Associate. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. I wanted to know what is the estimated peak revenue potential for both ibuprofen and non-ibuprofen segments over the next few years? And additionally, how do you anticipate margins evolving with the changing product mix and expanding market exposures?
So from the IBU and non-IBU segment, we are targeting 2,000 CR in the next 2 years.
Okay. Understood. And with the successful REACH registration of acetic anhydride, how do you plan to capitalize on this opportunity for expansion in the EU market? And are there specific volume or revenue targets associated with this initiative?
Actually, in case of acetic anhydride, our captive consumption is increasing due to increase in the capacity of our paracetamol plant, which are currently running at 34%. And we are hoping 60% capacity of para by quarter three of current year. So most of the production of acetic anhydride is captive consumption, used in captive consumption. Only some part, surplus part, we will sell in the market, and we are forcing this surplus quantity to the market where price realization is better, I think in Europe market, and for which we have recently got REACH certification.
Okay, understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to interest of time, this was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. As we conclude the quarter one FY26 earnings call, it is encouraging to see our strategic focus on execution, portfolio diversification, and regulatory advancement translating into strong start to the year. Despite a dynamic external environment, Our integrated business model, expanding global footprints and disciplined financial approach continue to reinforce our resilience and growth potential. We remain committed to scaling our presence in both domestic and regulated international markets, backed by operational excellence and innovation. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to engaging with you as we build on this momentum through the rest of FY26. For any further queries, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you once again and have a great day.
Thank you. On behalf of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.